1 Kings chapter 18, and then the second passage I want you to find, we'll read it, and it'll make sense, or I pray that it'll make sense as we get going through here. 2 Kings chapter number 6, 1 Kings 18, and 2 Kings chapter number 6. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight, and can't think of no other place I'd rather be. I'd rather be here than at home. I'd rather be here than on a job site somewhere. I'd rather be here than at a ball game. I'd rather be here than at a racetrack. I'd rather be here tonight than in a deer stand. I'd rather be here tonight than any place I can imagine on earth. I'm glad I'm in the house of the Lord this evening. And I trust that you're glad about it. And tonight, boy, it's been good singing tonight. Just seemed like the Lord's kind of lined us all up and let us feel good touch of God on the singing. The message I want to preach ain't going to fit the atmosphere we've had. I'd like to preach something kind of make us jump out of our pew, and I'd like to do that, but that ain't one of these messages. It'd be a pastoral type message. I want to slow down a little bit this evening, and I want to teach you something that God showed me some time ago. And very, very important. We've been preaching along the lines on Sunday nights the last 3 or 4 or 5 weeks now, along the line of the pastor-people relationship. And I want to pick that same vein of thought back up this evening. And then after tonight, I promise I'm getting off this. And we'll preach more on it as the Lord directs us. But I really feel like this is something that the Lord would have us to preach as we're rounding the corner here on the first year. In the second year, something very, very important that we need to get a hold of. Stand with me, 1 Kings chapter number 18. We'll begin reading here. If you'll stand, we'll jump over to 2 Kings here in just 1 minute, all right? You know this story well in 1 Kings 18. Elijah's been at Mount Carmel, and the fire of God has failed. Elijah has slain the prophets of Baal by the edge of the sword. And there has been a great, great move of God that's just taken place in 2 Kings chapter number 18. I want to begin reading in verse number 41, where the Bible said, "And Elijah said unto Ahab," now there's been a famine going on, a drought in the land, and here's what Elijah says to Ahab, "Get thee up, eat and drink, for there's a sound of abundance of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And he said, "Go again 7 times. And it came to pass in the 7th time that he said, "Behold, there riseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand." And he said, "Go up, saying they have, prepare thy chariot, and get thee down that the rain stop thee not." And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and rain, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. If you will, look in 2 Kings chapter 6, and we'll pick up our reading here in verse number 13. We're now in the ministry of Elisha, the man of God that followed Elijah. And the Bible said, and he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And you'll understand the king of Syria's men just been informed of Elisha the prophet that every time Syria sets itself against Israel, that they came to the king of Syria and they said, "Elisha, here's God tells him what you say in your bedchamber. What you say in secret is being told to the man of God by God himself. That's why you can't defeat the people of God." And so he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he hither horses and chariots and a great host." And they came back night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forward, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, listen to his prayer now, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened his eyes, opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Let's pray together. You say, preacher, what in the world are you going to preach to us? Hang with me, okay? Father, I love you tonight. I'm so thankful this evening that, Lord, you're in control, you're in charge, you're the Lord, you're the boss, you're the master, and you're God, and beside thee there is none other. We can't even compare you to anybody tonight, or you're higher than the highest, and you're greater than the great. And Father, Lord, you excel beyond anything that, Lord, has excelled in our life. You outdo everything, Lord, that is right and good in our life. And we're thankful for God tonight. We're thankful for your dealings in our life. We're thankful for the Word of God. We're thankful for our church. We're thankful for our families. We're thankful tonight for the good blessings of God that fall upon us. And Lord, we just, tonight before we even get started in this, I just feel the need, Lord, to tell you thank you again. Lord, you've been so good to me. Lord, hear my wife testify, Lord, about the night she got saved and the night she changed her life. God, I want to thank you for that. You saved me and you saved her. And Lord, you've been saving my children. And God, I owe everything I am, everything my family is, Lord, I owe it to you. And I bless you for it tonight. Now, Father, I pray, Lord, for the next few minutes, would you help us? Help me to be swift with my thoughts. And Father, to be clear and concise. And may the Spirit of God speak through us to the very heart of our church tonight. And Lord, in days to come, help us, Lord, to bind together in unity and in love around the cause of Christ. And we'll thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You can be seated tonight. As we set the context of both of these passages of Scripture, we understand in the first passage, as we've already said, Elijah has experienced a great victory. He's gone to Mount Carmel. He's challenged the people of God. And I love what he said. I love it. It's one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament, how Elijah went up to Mount Carmel and challenged the people and basically said, you need to make up your mind. If Baal is God, then serve it. But if the Lord's God, then you need to serve him. Don't halt between two opinions. Make up your mind who's God and who you're going to serve. And that day, Elijah, filled with the power of God, prayed. And we know the story, how the fire failed and God sent a revival and a great moving of the presence of God upon Carmel. Sin was dealt with and the power of God was manifested. The presence of God was real and God done some great things. And in the end of that, God said, after all these years of drought, it's time now that the clouds are going to roll back in, the rain is going to fall, and the blessings of God are going to be restored back to Israel. And before that ever took place, before the first cloud ever came up, and before, my friend, one raindrop ever fell, amen, Elijah had already been with God. He had already seen the rainfall. He had already been given insight and assurance. And here's the word I want to use tonight. He had already been given vision on what God was going to do for the people of God in sending them rain. Ahab hadn't seen it yet, and the people of God hadn't seen it yet. In fact, we read in this passage of Scripture here in 1 Kings 18, and Elijah had a servant. Elijah said, amen, I've seen something. Now I want you to go up on the top of the mountain and look out, and you tell me what you see. And the servant goes, and he comes back to Elijah, as we've read it tonight, and he said, Elijah, you have lost your mind. There's nothing to see. There's no vision. There's nothing to look at. There's nothing happening. There's nothing that is any different than the way that it has always been. And Elijah said, hey man, it ain't a problem with the vision. It ain't a problem with me. And it sure ain't a problem with God. Go back and tell me again what you say. And he did that seven times before, hey man, he's saying what Elijah had already been had revealed to him by God. And when we come, when this story ends, the rain falls, and surely in verse 45 the Bible said, and it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. That old servant had come back and he said, I tell you what I say. He said, there riseth a little cloud out of the sea, and it's like the hand of a man, and it's bringing rain with it. And Elijah said, yep, that's what I told you. I wanted you when I told you to go see. That's the vision God had given me. And sure enough, when the story ends, there's rain clouds coming in, and the rain's falling, and the blessings are there. Amen. There was something, here's my thought now, there's something that the man of God had a vision for, and something God had let him see and put in his heart that was going to come to pass. And my friend, nobody else could say it. My friend, the man of God was given a vision by God for the people of God. Now, we come to 2 Kings chapter number 6, and we're in the ministry of Elisha. It's amazing how the ministries of Elijah and the ministry of Elisha, how that, my friend, they're very similar. In a lot of ways, they're different. But in a lot of ways, my friend, they're the same. The hand of the Lord was upon both men. The hand of the Lord used both men mightily. There was experiences Elijah had, and my friend Elisha had almost identical inexperience in his own life and ministry. We find one of those instances here, I believe, in the fact that my friend Syria, the Syrian army, is encamped about the city of Dothan, and I believe that they mean to do Elisha and his servant and the people of God in that city, they mean to do them harm. Elisha's servant gets up one morning and he realizes that in the middle of the night the king of Syria has brought his army up, and they have literally encamped about the city, and evidently he's filled with fear, because Elisha said, fear not. He comes to Elisha and he said, how shall we do? In other words, how in the world are we going to get out of this mess? We're in a mess. The enemy is against us, and there's a great army out there that is getting ready to bring us down. And Elisha said, of course, fear not. And he said, servant, what you've got to understand is that for they ever got here, God has given me a vision, and they that be for us are more than they that be with them. And can I imagine in that church, and that's as true of this evening as it's ever been, and in the work of God, there are many enemies, there are many obstacles, there are many people that would love to shut the doors at Calvary Baptist Tabernacle tonight. Thank God that those, amen, from the heavenly realm that are for you and that, a far outnumber of the crowd that is with the world tonight. And so Elisha begins to pray and says, Lord, my servant here, he's having struggle, he's fearing, he doesn't know what's going on, he doesn't know how we're going to get out of this, he doesn't understand all that you're doing in this situation. And so what does he do? He said, Lord, what he needs more than anything is for you to open his eyes and let him see what you've already allowed me to see. Amen. Can I draw you in now? Elisha has seen something that nobody else sees. And God has let him have a vision that nobody else in Dothan has. He's got a vision that his own servant doesn't have. God has let him see what God is already up to. And my friend, nobody else can see it. And so what he does, he says, God, open his eyes. And God opens his eyes. And my friend, this man goes from doom and gloom and dread and discouragement to seeing the vision that the man of God has already been given. Man, I told y'all I was going to slow down, and I feel like letting her fly tonight. Amen. Elisha, a servant here, my friend, sees what the man of God had already seen. And so I want to use these two passages of scripture tonight. I've only got two main points, but I've got several set points under the main points. It ain't the main points that make my message long, it's the set points. Amen. But I've only got two main points tonight, and I want to preach on this thought tonight, on seeing the vision of the man of God. Seeing the vision of the man of God. God. The Bible has much to say about vision. We understand this, and in the days of Samuel when he come on the set, and we taught this in our Sunday school this morning around that set, and in the days of Samuel, Eli was the priest. The Bible said that Eli was old and well stricken, and he could not see. And the Bible said that the lamp of God had gone out in the house of God, and that there was no open vision. Leadership had no vision. People had no vision. They were just people going through the motions. Amen. They were still showing up to church, but it wasn't real. They were still singing the songs they had always sung. But they were dried up in their worship. And my friend, they had lost the realness of it. Why? As the Bible said, when the lamp went out, their vision went out. They no longer had an eye for God. They no longer could look out and see what God was up to. Everything was doom and gloom and dreary. And can I say tonight, amen, I refuse in 2014 to believe that God is not up to something. Our God is still on the throne. Our God is still real. Our God is still alive. Our God can still do anything that He's ever done. My friend, God's people need to have vision, and that begins in the pulpit. And my friend, with a vision that God gives the men of God of our day, ought to be embraced by the people that my friend, God has called them to serve. And my prayer is tonight, amen, listen, that God would allow people to get a burden, even though you may not see it tonight. I'm not asking you to see it tonight. I'm not asking you, my friend, do you see it tonight? What I'm asking you this evening, amen, would you be one that would rise up and say, you know what, I don't understand everything. I may not even like everything. I may be discouraged by some things. Would to God He would open up the eyes of my heart and let me see the vision of my man of God. Amen. I'm feeling like preaching now. Amen. Here's what the Bible said. And where there is no vision, the people perish. There is death that plagues a congregation. And my friend, a vision is lost. My friend, it doesn't. A visionless church is a dying church. A visionless church that loses its vision for a generation by which they live in and are called to serve. It loses their vision for God. It loses their vision for what God has raised us to do in these last days. Amen. Listen, where there is no vision, people perish. What do we need? We need our eyes open again. My friend, we need our eyes to be open again. And can I say, amen, it is the very absolute perfect will of God, and we believe it tonight, that God raises up men to be pastors and teachers, amen, men of God, if you will, amen, with a vision in their heart for the crowd that God has called them to serve, amen, and listen, amen, if there ain't no vision, my friend, the people have perished, and if the people don't see the vision, and get a burden to see the vision, and get a burden to catch the vision, mark it down, where there is no vision, the people perish. You say, but I just don't see it. Well, amen, hopefully tonight I'll say a thing or two this evening that'll help you. Let me just jump into this. Number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. I want you to draw your attention tonight to the obstacles to seeing the vision of the man of God. I believe as I've studied these passages of Scripture, that there's at least three reasons these servants, my friend, were hindered in at first, and at several times in Elijah's servant's case, as to why they could not see the vision that a man of God had seen. Amen. Notice this with me tonight. What prevents you from seeing? What are obstacles you and I have got to overcome seeing the vision of the man of God? Number one, amen, and write it down. There's the obstacle of doubts. Elijah says to his servant, he says here in chapter 1 Kings 18, he said there in verse 43, to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. Say, preacher, what does that mean? Look up in here. I'm going to make it real, real deep for you to understand. It means when he looked out, he was trying to see, but there was nothing. The man of God said, I've seen something. Go tell me what you see. And guess what? There was nothing to be seen. There was nothing there. There's no cloud coming up out of the sea. There's no thunder rolling. There's no lightning flashing. There's no rain falling. But Gerald, he looks out and he comes back and he said, Elijah, you must have lost your mind. You must have bumped your head while you're slaying the servants of Baal. There's something's happened to you. Evidently you breathe too much smoke or something up there on Carmel, Elijah. There is nothing. Elijah said, go look again. Go look again. And go look again. Why? Because this man is at a place where, for whatever reason, being the sovereign hand of God had blinded it, whether it was his own doubts about, my friend, what God was up to. Amen. There was something in this man that, and when he looked out, there was nothing, and it created doubt in his mind. Amen. He could not see it. And when there's nothing to be seen, guess what? You'll have an obstacle to overcome called doubt. And I say God is up to something at Calvary. Whether you see it or whether you're comfortable with it or not. Amen. God is up to something. But you say, preacher, there's nothing. Now listen to this statement. The fact is, there was nothing in Elijah in this servant's case. But here's my statement. Just because there was nothing didn't mean there was nothing. There was something even though he couldn't see it. God had already burned it into the man of God's heart. God had already confirmed that, my friend, there was something getting ready to take place. And my friend Elijah had already seen it and embraced it by faith. And my friend, this man has got to overcome of the doubts of seeing nothing. He's got to overcome that obstacle. Am I making any sense tonight? You say, preacher, I'm glad you're here and I'm glad that God put you up here, but I just doubt that it's going to be any different than it's ever been. I just doubt this and I doubt that. My friend, you doubts me. He anchored in the fact that there is nothing right now. You still haven't seen anything in this man. Amen. Can you imagine? Elijah said, well, amen, it ain't a problem with God and it ain't a problem with me. Amen. You've got to overcome your own doubt. Amen. Go and look again. He comes back. He said, Elijah, there's still nothing. Elijah said, go back and look again. He comes back and he said, ain't nothing more there a third time than there was the first time. And he goes back and it ain't until a seventh time that he goes. And finally, my friend, God allows him to see what Elijah had already saw. What did he have to overcome? There was the obstacles of doubt. Let me say this, there is the obstacle of delay. He goes the first time and there's nothing there. He goes the second time and there's nothing there. He goes the third time, there's nothing there. Maybe the servant of Elijah is saying, man, I know Elijah is a man of God. I know that God has put him in my life to lead me and encourage me and direct me. And what a joy it is to serve him. I know God has had his hand on it. But I just don't see that the Lord is up to anything. My friend, he couldn't see the vision. There was a delay. Amen. In him being able to see what God had already allowed Elijah to see. You say, preacher, I hear you talk and I hear others talk about what they see God is doing, but I just don't see it. And I just don't see it as real as others see it. And it just ain't as real in my heart. Well, it's called the obstacle of delay. You got to keep going back and trying to see the vision of the man of God. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Just because he did not see it at first did not mean that it was not always there. We'll tell you something, it was there the first time he went. God was already up to something the first time he went, and it wasn't Elijah's fault he couldn't see it. It wasn't God's fault that he couldn't see it. And the delay that was there, amen, in his spiritual vision that delayed him being able to see it became an obstacle to him seeing the vision of the man of God. Amen. You say, preacher, Calvary's a good church. You better believe it's a good church. It's as good a church as there is in our town and our part of the country. But you mark it down, everybody ain't in on the vision God's put in the heart of your new pastor. Yeah, man, everybody, and ain't nobody fighting it, thank God. And as long as you don't fight it, we're okay. Amen. But everybody, there's some folk, you're sitting here tonight, you don't like this, you don't like that, you don't like the direction the church is here or there. And listen, I'm not saying that I know anything. I'm just saying, as your man of God, as your pastor, everybody ain't on board. There's delays sometimes. It, some people say it. Some of y'all, you've seen it from day one. Others have seen it over a year. Others tonight still struggle with, I just don't know. I don't know. Things are different than they've ever been. And I like the way that it was, and I just don't see what God is doing now. Guess what? Delay's an obstacle to seeing the vision of the man of God. Amen. What about this? What about distraction? When you come to 2 Kings chapter 6 and Elisha's story, amen, the servant of Elisha gets up, and what does he say? He sees there's an entire Syrian army with horses and chariots encamped about him, and he says, "Dear God, we're going to die." That's what he said. "Elisha, what in the world? How shall we do? How in the world are we going to get out of this mess?" Elisha said, "Don't fear." What was he doing? He was allowing what he did see to cause him not to say what the man of God already said. Distractions, there are distractions, there are times. At my friend, oftentimes people cannot see a vision of the man of God for what they do see. They can't look beyond what they can see with this eye to see what you can only see with the spiritual eye. You might as well say amen. Distractions, amen. Amen. Overwhelming circumstances and obstacles of distraction when the enemy comes in, or when people set themselves against a work of God, or my friend, be it a family distraction or a personal distraction or a ministry distraction. Distractions are obstacles of the devil to keep you from seeing the vision of your man of God. Amen. Yeah, well, I just don't understand. I don't understand this. How can God bless our church when so-and-so's a part of it? Well, it ain't got nothing to do with so-and-so being a part of it. It's got everything to do with giving God the glory. You can take this for what it's worth. I ain't for it. I don't like it. And I sure don't understand it. I've been to churches. They didn't have as high standards as I have. They didn't cut it as tight as I cut it. And I've walked into their churches, and guess what? God was there. Yeah, man, you might as well say amen. I mean, a real manifestation, the presence of God. I don't understand it, sissy. I don't like it. There's no way I can wrap my mind around it. But my friend, you got to understand, you can't let people become a distraction to what God wants you to see that He's up to.
You're right.
Preach, Pastor. Yeah, man. We pastors are bad about that. Can I just fill you in, and you know how to pray for me? I'm looking out tonight, and 95-98% or better of the congregation, I'm thinking, man, they see it, they get it, they're for it. And then you look out and you'll see people who ain't here, and you go, man, they just don't get it. And I've spent time beating them people, and they wasn't even here, beating on them, trying to figure all that out, a distraction. Amen. And it caused me to miss out on what God wanted me to get. I'll never forget old sister Sue Alkin, bless her heart, in our first ministry. She wasn't always on board, but after a while she got right with the Lord and she got on board. I'll never forget, was having trouble. Man, I was wearing that crowd out, and some of them was there, and I was just beating on them every service. I was going to get them, man. And I never forget, Sue come to me, and Sue, with a humble spirit, said, "Preacher, am I in the crowd that's giving you trouble? Have I done anything, preacher? I don't think I have, but if I have, would you tell me? I want to get it right." I said, "No, Sue, it ain't you. It's just people, they distract me, and I get..." And she said, "Well, preacher, I'm glad it ain't me, but can I tell you something? I'm tired of taking everybody else's whooping."
And I learned that day you can't let people distract you and go trying to fix people who don't see it. Amen. People who are obstacles, distracting obstacles to others that want to see the vision of the man of God. The obstacles. Number two, the opening to seeing the vision of the man of God. Somebody say, man, I'm already on point two. Notice with me, how do your eyes, what is it, what did these servants do that eventually caused them to have their eyes open the man of God? Can I slow down right here? Number one, notice back in our text, 1 Kings 18, I got to show you this. Notice this in this passage. 1 Kings 18, and the Bible said he went up and looked, verse 43, and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. It came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there, now watch the vision that he sees. Behold, there riseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. The vision that he's going to be opened up to see, and even in Elisha's servant's testimony and account, both of these servants seen unusual things that were out of the normal. Elijah's servant sees a cloud that looks like a man's hand bringing rain. Elisha's servant has to have his eyes open. And what's he see? He sees a heavenly host encamped about with horses and chariots, standing with swords drawn ready to slay. That ain't normal. You don't see that every day. You might go home tonight and eat some pepperoni and mushroom pizza and see something like that. But, amen, it ain't often you're going to see something like that every day of your life. It's out of the norm. You right? Are you with me? It's out of... That fly's about to get it. Here's my thought. It took some curiosity. If you're going to see something that looks like a man's hand floating across his side, you got to have a little bit of curiosity about you. If you're going to look up and look beyond the distraction and look beyond the Syrian army and see angels and horses and chariots and it drop down out of heaven getting ready to fight on your behalf, you've got to have a small measure of curiosity. Amen. How curious are you tonight? Say, preacher, it's just not the norm. It ain't the way we're used to it being. Well, that's what's going to keep you from seeing the vision of your man of God. You got to get curious and understand. Amen. Listen what I'm going to say. You got to understand and get curious to think, I ain't seen all there is to see yet. Great as your former pastor was, he didn't show you all there was to be shown. Amen. You might as well say amen, grunt or something. You got to be curious and realize that wherever you are with God tonight, whatever your Christian experiences are, there's still more to be seen. Amen. You know what keeps some folk from seeing anything? Well, I've seen this and I've seen that and I've been here and I've been there, and they lose their curiosity to see what more God could possibly do. Well, I remember when Calvary was this, and I remember when Calvary was that. Well, good. Quit living in the past and get curious, because God can do even greater things. Amen. Whoa. Took curiosity. Everybody okay? Number two, here's a big one. It took closeness. Everybody wasn't lining up to ask Elijah what he'd been seeing. Everybody didn't see what the servant got to see in both stories. You know who got to see it? The men who were willing to get the closest to the man of God. So I just don't see it. Well, maybe you ain't close enough. Can I give you a little verse in the Bible? It's actually in the New Testament. And the Bible said it is the church's responsibility to know them who have the rule over them in the Lord. You know what that means? That means it's your job. It's your job. If you want to know the vision, it's your job to get close to the preacher and get around him and spend time with him. Amen. And you don't have to say, well, what's your vision? All you got to do is get around him and just listen to him. You'll hear what his vision is. Closeness. Some people never see it. Brother William, they'll never see it because they're not willing to put their self out there and get close to the man of God. Amen. Good quiet crowd we got here tonight. Curiosity and closeness. You say, I want to see it. How do I do it? Get curious and then get close. Amen. Call your pastor every now and then. Preacher, how you doing? Anything need done around the church? Come on now. Anything need to be accomplished? Preacher, is there any way that we can do anything to make your ministry easier or better? Or what do you know what that is? That's coming in and getting close. There's people tonight that if I need something, I know all I got to do is pick up the phone because they've already proven they want to be close. They've already seen it. They're already willing to invest themselves. Brother Mark Jones, on Friday, we postponed this harvest thing because y'all freaked me out. Some of y'all freaked me out about 6 inches of snow and wasn't nobody going to show up. And so we postponed that. And I knew Mark would go up there in the rain and take the letters down off the sign and put postponed up there. You know why? Because he's done drew up close to the preacher. He already knows the heart of his pastor. And without even really being asked, he said, I'll be willing to go do that. You know why? Closeness. Amen. I'd go around the room. Somebody would go out here. He didn't acknowledge me. Come on now. Grow up. There's more than Mark, okay? But you got to get close. You got to be close. You got to draw in. Amen. Have the preacher over for dinner. Whoa. He loves steak. Amen. Pork chops, roast beef. Amen. Pizza, green beans, mashed potatoes. Amen. What? Why, preacher? You just want a free meal? No, I want you to be close to me. Amen. I didn't come up here to be some hermit pastor.
No, sir.
Lay up in some cave somewhere and not have nothing to do, just show up and preach. No, I ain't going to be one of them pastors. No, you want to get close, we'll be close. Now, I can't make you be close. But if you're willing to be, even the Lord had an inner circle, and even in the inner circle there was one that said, I'll get so close I'll lay my head on his bosom. Now the day Tim Davis tries to lay his head on my chest, we got issues. Woo! Say amen right there. Amen. What am I saying? I'm saying you ought to have a desire to get close and say, God, he's young, he's got all this zeal, and he's got this vision, and he's talking about reaching Newport and putting a family in every pew and seeing sinners get saved. And if I told y'all what all was really in my heart, it'd scare half of y'all to death. You say, preacher, how do I get a hold of that? You get close. You get close. You get curious and you get close. Y'all want another one? Amen. Watch this here. Look with me. Notice with me, curiosity and closeness, but notice with me tonight, it took commitment. The servant of Elijah had to go and look 7 times before he seen the man of God's vision. Just because he did not see it the first time, guess what? He didn't give up. Every time he comes back, he said, Elijah, there's nothing. Elijah said, I think you need to go look again. Yeah. It's there, I promise you it's there. And that old servant said, okay, I'll go look again. You said to look. It ain't there. Come back. There's nothing. Elijah said, I think you need to go try one more time. I promise you that 7th time when he finally has his eyes open and he's seen it, I promise you he said, hallelujah, now I see what he's been seeing all along. You say, well, I just don't see it. Things are changing. Things are not in my comfort zone. Maybe I'll just go find another church. Surely nobody said that, but just let me deal with it. It'd be sad to leave when God's on the verge of letting you see what he's about ready to do. Amen. Leaving ain't the answer. Amen. Because the problem ain't with the preacher, and the problem ain't with the church, and the problem sure ain't with the Lord and what he's up to. You say, I don't see it. Well, that's your problem. You've got to be committed enough to keep looking, keep looking, keep looking. God, please let me see. He says it's there, but I don't see nothing. Stay committed to seeing the vision of the man of God. One more and I'm done. It took confidence. At the end of the day, what made the difference? Both of these servants knew Elijah and Elisha had the touch of God upon their life. They had already seen God do great things, even in small ways or great ways, how God had used these men in the nation of Israel. And so when Elijah said, go look again, guess what he's got? He's got confidence. This man is God's man, and he will eventually, maybe I'll never see it, but I know the problem ain't with him, it's with me. I've got confidence in this man God has put in my life. When Elisha looks at his servant, watch this now, and says, don't be afraid. What do you mean, don't be afraid? There's an entire Syrian army out there getting ready to send on us and slay us. What do you mean, don't be afraid? He never said that. You know why? Because when Elijah said, fear not, they that be for us are more than they that be with them. And when he went down to pray and saying, God, open his eyes and let him see, that servant had confidence in Elisha as a man of God to say, you know what? He probably sees something. If he's saying it's there, there's something there I don't see. I'll go look again. What is that? Confidence. You ain't going to make it far if you don't put confidence in your pastor. You say, but you're young and you ain't this and you ain't that. Guess what? I ain't. And I ain't out to be the out-the-box preacher. Amen. I ain't no cookie-cutter preacher. I don't do it how all the preachers say you're supposed to do it. You might as well say amen. I told Jerry for service, in some ways, I wish I had some of them administrative abilities some men have. Some men, they're administrative geniuses and they're pastors and they've got a way about running. I ain't got that. All I got is the Holy Ghost and the voice of God and saying, Lord, okay, you lead me. Yes. And I don't care if it upsets anybody's apple cart. God, if you tell me what to do, we'll step out and do it. Amen. I got preachers across the country that when they think of your pastor, they say, he is a legalist. He's too dogmatic. He's a legalist. He's gone way, way too far. And then there's another crowd of preachers, they say when they think of Ledbetter, they think he's a liberal. Ain't that funny? You know what I've come to the conclusion of? If both sides are throwing stones at you, you're probably standing about where you need to. Amen. Amen. So I don't care what they say. I've made up my mind. I'm 35 years old. I ain't no kid preacher no more. I'm 35 years old. God saved me and called me to preach to be His man. And that's His business to speak to me and to lead me.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. And so it don't matter to me what the brethren think. Amen. I got a text from a good brother and I love him. He said, man, I ain't heard nothing out of you and we don't run in the same circles no more and love you. Just wanted you to know I'm praying for you and I appreciate that. But I thought, one of the reasons we don't run together is because you're an arrogant little punk.
Yeah. Right.
Get around you and you can't even breathe without you making me feel like I'm going to hell.
Yeah.
You might as well say, man, I ain't running with that crowd.
Amen.
I ain't running with the crowd that lets everything go.
Right.
Amen. You know what you got to do? You got to put confidence. If God put Brother Jeff here, I'll give him my confidence and I may not see it, but I'll keep going back and I'll keep looking. I'll keep begging God, let me see it and see the vision of the man of God. I'm preaching my heart to you tonight. I don't even know if you call this preaching. It's just trying to share with you my heart this evening as your pastor. After a year, man, some of y'all on board. My mom was here last Sunday and she said, boy, I like this church you pastor better than your first church. She was on the here a couple services. I said, well, I do too. And they was talking about, they got talking about Brother Jerry and how he leads his singing. I said, you know, Jerry's a real good song leader, and I appreciate Jerry. I said, but what you don't know about Jerry, if I called Jerry and asked Jerry to climb the top of this church and get on the steeple, he'd find some way to climb that church and get on the steeple, and he wouldn't even ask Boo about it. You know why? He sees the vision, the man of God. He sees what God is doing. Amen. And that's a man that was that committed to the former pastor. Never gave the former pastor a minute's trouble. Never bucked the former pastor 1 minute of his ministry. You know what he's done? He's transferred that confidence into the new man God has raised up and said, okay, God, you know what you're doing. You sent Ledbetter up here. I'll follow him and put my confidence in him like I did the one you gave me before. Might as well say, man, right there. If we're going forward, somebody's got to say, I want to see the vision of the man of God. Part of my vision is there needs to be a family in that seat right there. In that seat right there. And Linda, she needs another family in that pew. And the pew in front of Mac and the bombs there. There needs to be a family there. That's part of the vision, reaching people. Amen. Paying off the mortgage, that's part of your pastor's vision. Says that a big deal to you, it's a bigger deal than you realize. You say, why? Because of the other visions that God has given me for our church. Amen. We desperately need to grow the facilities around here. Amen. You ladies need a commercial kitchen over there because we're going to keep having fellowships. Somebody say amen right there. Woo, sissy, shout her out there now. Amen. I mean, can you imagine having a ministry that had something where we was impacting the lives of people? Not just show up on Sunday and go through the motion junk. I didn't come up here to pastor a church like that. It ain't going to be a Sunday-only ministry. I'm talking about ministry 7 days a week, reaching and helping and ministering and serving the souls of people. You say, how? Get curious. Get close. Get committed. Get some confidence. And the more you do that, the more you'll see some of the things down the road that God's going to do. You better not forget this message. It ain't been preached real good, but the truth is there tonight. You better not lose sight of this message because you're going to need it in the days to come. Come on, Sister Candy. Father, I love you. Well, thank you tonight for my church. Lord, I'm in love with you. I love you for so many reasons. Lord, we know according to Scripture, we love you because you first loved us. Father, I want you to know tonight, I love this congregation. I love the church you've let me come be a part of and to serve in and to have the privilege to pastor. Father, Lord, I'm so excited about what you're doing. Lord, I'm excited about what I see. The potential that we see, the things that, Lord, are coming down the road that, Lord, you're going to be able to do here. Father, I pray this evening that, Lord, that there'll be times, Lord, we'll have to, Lord, lead by faith. There'll be times that this congregation have to follow by faith because, Lord, they may not see it, but, Lord, I pray that you'd open their eyes along the way. Let them see the vision of their man of God. Help us, Lord, we pray. Lord, as a church, to be everything that you would have us to be. Sure do love you, Lord. Have your will and way now in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me? Can we give invitation like this tonight? We got folk here tonight that are not members of our church. And some of them are really seriously praying about becoming a part of our church. And we're thankful for that. This message is as much for y'all as it is members of the church. But would you do this tonight? Would you get on this altar this evening as a church family and say, Lord, put a hedge about our church. Put a hedge about our pastor. Put a hedge about the members of our church and their families. And Lord, help us in days to come to see and to catch every part of the vision. Help us to get behind the leadership as you lead our pastor and giving him vision. Help us to stand behind him. Help us to be committed and to do what it takes on our end to see the vision of the man of God that you give us. Not for the glory of your pastor. Are you listening tonight? Not for the building of disciples of Ledbetter, but for the cause of Christ. Get on this altar and say, God, tonight, help me, help my family see the vision of the man of God. That's it. Pray, church. Dear God, help these men tonight. Touch them, Lord. Use them to lead their families. God, I pray. God, open their eyes. Let them see it. Let them keep seeing it. God, do something in their hearts and lives tonight. Bless them. Bless them, Lord, we pray.